All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for October 25th, 2022. This is our regularly scheduled board meeting, as advertised. The board met an executive session prior to this evening's meeting to discuss personnel and legal matters, and that concluded at approximately 7:05. So we'll call the meeting to order now. It's approximately 7:10 p.m. At this time, would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
For present, Mr. Chairman, as you're aware, Mr. Zamuda is absent from the rest of the meetings for this week.
Right. I was just going to say they're excused absences.
Yes.
So I don't want anybody to think anything other than that. Just a few housekeeping measures before we begin the meeting with our first visitor public comment section of the agenda. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I wish to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. So like when we get into public comment, we ask anybody that wishes to put comment into the record, you come to the podium, first name, last name, and address, and then you can make your comment. We typically reserve about 3 minutes a person, but you know, we ask people to be fairly concise. If you get to the three minute mark and you're not wrapping up, I'll gently just sort of ask you to wrap up, but I'll let you finish your point. But beyond that, there are two sessions for visitor public comments, so if you don't speak in the beginning, you have an opportunity at the end as well. And the rules are the same for both. And so with that, I don't think there's anything else in terms of housekeeping. We'll open it up for visitor public comment, the first session, so anybody wishing to place comment into the record, this is the time to do so. Seeing as no one is coming forward to the podium, we will close this portion of the visitor public comment section of the agenda and move on to our consent calendar. There are a number of items under our consent calendar. First is A, it's the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes for the October 11th, 2022 regular meeting. The second is B, the release of financial security provided regarding construction of a new home at 1410 Sand Hill Road while temporarily retaining the existing dwelling. C is the release of financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for the Donahue residence at 158 Oak Lane. That's S-2022-011. D is the release of financial security provided for the stormwater management site plan for HMC maintenance building. That's S-2020-007. E is the reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision plan for Woodland Hills, plat 1203. And F is the approval of the October 25th, 2022 accounts payable in the amount of $1,420,590.79 and payroll in the amount of $328,560.25. So under the consent calendar, the board can take each of those items separately or we can take them all in one motion. That's the pleasure of the board. And at this time, I'll ask my colleagues, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion to approve the entire consent calendar, items A through F.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt to approve all items A through F. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously, and the items under our consent calendar for this evening have been approved. That'll take us to new business. And the first item under new business is the swearing in of our newest police officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Gill is our newest officer. Austin joins our department after recently serving the city of Philadelphia as a police officer in the 24th District. He has been a police officer since April of 2022 after graduating third in his class from the Philadelphia Police Academy. He is a graduate of Calvary Christian Academy in Philadelphia and Temple University with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Criminal Justice and a minor degree in Global Studies. Austin is also an active member of the Pennsylvania National Guard, Company A, 1st Battalion, 111th Infantry, as a 2nd Lieutenant Infantry Officer. We welcome Austin to the Derry Township Police Department and are excited for him to continue his law enforcement career with us. And he is joined tonight by his wife, Adriana. So with that, you're down here already?
Yeah, okay. I'm done. I knew what was coming.
Please swear in. Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The laws and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
The laws and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And all municipal ordinances of the Township of Derry.
And all municipal ordinances of the Township of Derry.
I will respect the constitutional rights of all persons with regard to liberty, equality, and justice.
I will respect the constitutional rights of all persons with regard to liberty, equality, and justice.
I will perform all duties impartially, without bias or prejudice, with regard to any person's sex, race, or religious belief.
I will perform all duties impartially, without bias or prejudice, with regard to any person's sex, race, or religious belief.
All persons will be treated equally with courtesy, consideration, and dignity.
All persons will be treated equally with courtesy and consideration and dignity.
I understand that by giving this oath and pledging my best efforts, the Township of Derry is under no obligation to accept my best efforts as an acceptable level of conduct, behavior, or performance.
I understand that by giving this oath and pledging my best efforts, the Township of Derry is under no obligation to accept my best efforts as an acceptable level of conduct, behavior, or performance.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer to the best of my abilities with honor and fidelity, so help me God.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer to the best of my abilities with honor and fidelity, so help me God.
Congratulations, Officer Gill. Welcome. We'd love to take some pictures. I'll switch my glasses back. We know that you'll do great work here. You'll get great training. You're under terrific supervision from the chief and his deputies. And number one, most importantly, is be safe. Make sure every day that you go home every night. Right? Or maybe every night. Make sure you go home every morning. We know that you will do a great job here, so we're pleased to have you.
Thanks.
Why don't you guys come from the center and shoot the last thing. Great to meet you. Best of luck to you. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it as always. Yes. Thank you, everyone.
That was obviously a very pleasant item on the agenda, so we'll move on to the next item, which is, I think, also a pleasant item on the agenda. This is the update on the fiscal year 2022 budget, third quarter results, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Crispin for his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a continuation of what we try to do each year now, which is present quarterly results for the supervisors to have an understanding of where we are from a budgetary standpoint. As you know, we're approaching the fourth quarter, and another month we'll be looking at our proposed fiscal year 2023 budget. I think that's November 15th, so that's on your schedule. So tonight we're just going to take a snapshot of where we were at the end of the third quarter. So that would be at the end of September. Again, this is sort of in response to the township's ongoing efforts to take a look at how COVID-19, that pandemic, has impacted our finances. We've gone now through 2 years of some intense contractions with respect to how we changed service delivery in this township. As you're aware, we cut 27% of our expenses in our budget at the height of the pandemic, which, to our credit, while those were difficult decisions in a lot of ways, it saved us financially. As we move forward, we were able to continue to provide service at a level that's been really accustomed to in the community. We did not dip in that area. We contracted in the right way so that we were able to continue to move forward in a way that I think is acceptable to the supervisors and to our residents as a whole. So for those of you who may not have seen this before, Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code. Section 3205. Maybe I shouldn't touch the remote.
You know, we switched to online PowerPoint.
So it's a new software in the budget, isn't it, sir?
So I did download this as a PDF, which will flip through the same thing.
It actually would have been a very clever ruse to get us to add
to our IT budget, yes.
You should still be able to flip through.
I'll give it a shot once you get us going here.
Give it a go.
All right, we're okay. Try the pointer. Okay, so Section 3205 of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code identifies exactly how municipalities like ours are to structure their budgets annually. So in fiscal year 2022, our budget has 11 funds, 8 of which are operating and 3 are capital. And if you see here on this slide, we notate the operating funds, which are the general fund, streetlight fund, community center fund, solid waste, library, debt service, liquid fuels, and our operating reserve fund. Our capital funds include 30, which is the general capital reserve fund, 31, community center reserve fund, and 32, our road fund. The budget was adopted last year, the 2022 budget. It was proposed at on the revenue side, $23,825,660, which is about, in the aggregate, 3.67% higher than where we were a year ago. So, the COVID-19 effect. So what this slide illustrates is kind of really, and it's kind of hard to see here, a pie chart of how our budget breaks down in relationship to revenues and expenses. So on the revenue side, 77% of our general fund is made up of real estate property taxes and Act 511. Of those two revenue categories, Act 511 was the category that was most impacted by COVID-19. We talk a lot about that through the last 2 years when we talked about how did it impact amusement tax, how did it impact parking tax. All of those revenue sources that have a direct linkage to the hotel and entertainment industry here in Hershey. So, as I mentioned, Act 511 includes your real estate transfer tax, earned income tax, local services tax, occupation, amusement, and parking. We look at this graphically, which is kind of interesting. Of every dollar you spend for taxes in this township. 8% of it is what we collect for all of the services that you receive here in Derry Township. The largest lion's share, of course, goes to the Derry Township School District at 19.4348 mils, or at 63% of every dollar collected. Gloucester County, 8.876 mils, that's 29% of all your dollars collected. But for 2.5381 mils, I can say definitively you receive the bulk of your services that residents generally access and utilize on a daily basis, whether it's traveling on our roads, utilizing trash collection services, our parks, our libraries. Now it's leaf collection time of the year, so you'll see Public Works out collecting leaves. You know, all of those services are accounted for in that 8% that we collect. I think that's a great return on your investment in this township. So for every 80 cents on the dollar that's collected, that's what you're getting. I think that's great. Or 8 cents, if you excuse me. So through the end of the third quarter, it's important to note that as we start to look at this graphically, you want to see that revenues in general should be trending at 75% or higher, and expenses should be trending at 75% or lower. You'll see in a minute we're right on target where we should be, and actually we're doing fairly well, all things considered. So as we move forward for this month, it's kind of hard to see here, and I apologize. I'm sorry, I can't see that myself. Bad eyes. As of the end of September, 83% of your revenue has come through the door. That's great. That's a great sign for us. That, you know, by the end of the third quarter, 83% of your total revenue that we've anticipated in our budgets through the door. On the expense side, we've only spent 53% of our budget. Really should be at 75% if we were doing dollar for dollar at the way it was identified in our adopted budget, we'd be at 75%. So what that tells me is we do have some expense loads that are going to come more towards the end of the year. You'll see that in the fourth quarter, like the MMO payments will be going out, so that will have an impact on these numbers as well. But I can say pretty much with certainty by the time we get to the end of the fourth quarter, we certainly will not be at 100% of budget. So that bodes well for us as we begin 2023, that we'll have a larger cash reserve with which to operate from in January, when it's the leaner time of the year, when you're not getting as much real estate tax revenue through the door. You know, it's a lighter time of the year. We'll have a sufficient cash balance to carry the township forward to continue doing what we do. Just to point out here, this slide, also a little tough for me to read. Sorry, Chuck.
That's okay.
I've highlighted the revenue streams that have been most important to us, at least through the scope and the duration of the pandemic, our pilot. So when we adopted our budget, we did not include a full pilot, any pilot payment really, from Hershey Entertainment Resorts. So what we can say definitively, in the fourth quarter, we will get a 100% pilot payment from HENR for 2022 in 2022. That's the first time that's ever happened. So they're coming out of a very difficult period with the pandemic and how it's impacted their operations. And we're now getting into a cycle where they will be paying the pilot in the actual calendar year. In previous years, we would pay it a year after the fact. So we would get 22 and 23, and so on and so forth. But because of the pandemic and the way that this has shaken out and their ability now to pay because hotel receipts have been so robust, debt service is satisfied, and so now the full pilot payment is available to be paid in this calendar year. So that's great.
And Chris, I know you did say this, but just for clarification, that's the Giant Center, essentially the Giant Center pilot payment. That's when we say Hershey Entertainment, not to be confused with the amusement tax pilot, but I just wanted to
draw that distinction. In my mind, it's all kind of, it's just there, it's Giant Center. That full pilot payment will be realized by all three taxing bodies, the school district, the county, and of course the township. So we're very pleased about that. That continues forward. When you look at the amusement tax and parking tax line items, we are above budget in all categories at this point. So we already meet our estimates, which is great, by the end of the third quarter. So you'll recall that when we established our budget, you can see there on the far left, you know, we set like an artificially low ceiling with respect to the budget. We set it at $500,000. So when the township department heads got together and started to figure out exactly what their needs were for this upcoming year, you know, that was as much money as we were going to allocate from this particular revenue stream to help fund general operations. So what happens to the surplus? Well, I'm happy to say that as we move forward and we go past that ceiling, those funds that we're collecting in excess of what's budgeted goes into your general operating reserve fund. So internally, as time goes on, we'd like to see that number grow over time. I think the philosophy of keeping an amusement tax low, or at least recording the receipts, and we may change that philosophy moving forward, but actually record the receipts as they come in so that we make an internal decision that maybe our limit's $500,000, but then anything in excess of that goes into your reserve fund. So the more cash the township accumulates over time in your operating reserve reduces your reliance on a lot of different things. Number one, you don't have to rely on a real estate tax increase, for example, to supplement operations. You will increase your bond rating over time. Right now, township has a AA-, very stable, very solid. But the more cash we have on hand, it increases the township's borrowing capacity, increases its ability, and it demonstrates to S&P that we have the ability to pay our bills on time. We have cash in reserve. So in my mind, we should move to AAA rating as we continue to grow our fund balances over time. So I would see that in maybe the next year or two. So that's truly helpful for us, especially when we do things like we've done in the last couple of weeks, which is going out and bought a new fire truck. Well, when you go and do that, you know, your bond rating plays a part in that overall financing plan. You know, it affects the rates at which you are guaranteed to make payments. So maybe that 4.3% might be lower had you been AAA. You know, all of those things can impact your borrowing ability. And the best way to improve your status and borrowing capacity is to have cash on hand. And that's what we're working on.
That's okay, just trying to help.
All right, so general fund expenses. This is the other side of the coin, the same slide that we saw earlier, but it just reflects your budget. What was adopted? We adopted a budget $22,617,910. And as you saw a couple slides ago, we are at 53% of budget. That's fantastic. You know, that's a credit to the folks that are sitting out here, not just me, but you know, they are the true stewards of the township tax dollars. You know, we're providing great services to this community. We continue to do that. And we're continuously mindful of the money that we're given in trust to make that happen. So let me just back up one slide. Sorry, Chuck. This just graphically represents our budget. And, you know, as would be expected, police services is the largest component. It's the largest center of operations in the township. Occupies the largest piece of the pie. But again, for 8% of that tax dollar that we collect, you get 24-hour police coverage. That's fantastic. That's good value on the dollar collected. So Supervisor Nutt had asked me for this month's presentation to talk about the community center a little bit. And you know, kind of before I get into these points real quickly, I do want to thank Mr. Jackson and his entire team. You know, they worked really, really hard since we've opened the center to deliver outstanding product to this community. The services that they provide are top-notch. The center in and of itself is maintained impeccably. Are we struggling and working through some issues with our contractors? Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the nature of the project. That's the nature of general construction. But, you know, I want to say that we're holding their feet to the fire, and these are things that we're fixing and correcting that are at no cost to the township. This is going to get repaired on their dollar. You know, there may be some things that we may have to pay for out of our contingency, but the lion's share of it will be paid by the contractor. So just to point out, in your 2022 budget, you adopted the community center's budget at $2.3 million. That includes $1.1 million of general fund operating dollars to help the community center function, operate. As of September 30th, total revenue that came through the door, and this includes your membership drives and all of the ancillary revenue line items in Zach's budget, you had $939,000 come through the door. What I want to point out is at this point, even at September 30th, we did not transfer $1 general fund monies into the community center fund supplement operations. So the reason that we have been so successful right now at operating with dollars taken, we had a great membership drive. The community embraced the new center and got on board with the 15-month membership drive that we had earlier this year. We met our revenue expectations already. I believe we're probably exceeding membership dollars. I think we budgeted about $700,000, so we did exceed that number earlier in the year. That's fantastic. It's a credit again to the center itself. And as of right now, as of the end of September, total expenses were at $894,000, or 38% of the budget. That's fantastic. Now, are we going to need general fund dollars to operate? Yes. Are we going to need $1.1 million? No. There's no way. Not in the fourth quarter. What that does then is that assists the general fund as we're preparing next year's budget, because those dollars then stay in fund balance in the general fund. The community center will have a dedicated revenue identified again next year. Each year we'll have that number. Internally, we're working to drive that number lower so that the general fund isn't supplementing the community center. We can generate enough revenue on its own to break even. That should be the goal of the township. You're never really ever going to make money in the community center operation. It's just not what we do. But the goal of breaking even, I think, is very reasonable.
Which is, by the way, I would just say it's amazing, because when we moved ahead with the project, we did believe that it was on an annual basis, probably we used $600,000 to $800,000 a year on average as a supplement from the general fund to help
in the old center.
$700,000-$800,000. So like we moved forward this project thinking if we only had to give that much money and we could keep it level, that would be a victory, right? But it was just literally the same investment at the plaza as at the community center, but for a much larger facility. And so I would have considered that a success. What you're saying is you may over time be able to drive down below that, which is astonishing.
That's the goal. That's exactly what I pointed out to you. When we looked at our business plan, they laid out like year two's coming. It's gonna be a critical year. Once we get beyond year two and we kind of see where things shake out, the newness of the center wears off, but I think we still have a lot of excitement for it. So can we build on that success? That's to be determined. We'll see as time goes on. So yes, our goal obviously is to continue to keep the general fund subsidy low, keep our revenues high at the community center so that it's supplementing its own needs. That is really a true success story for any community center, not just ours, but in the government sphere. So in year two, our planning, we continue to plan for operating success, learning from year one, and keeping general fund subsidies at or below expected levels, exactly what you just said. So the harder we work on our end to keep expenses in check, which we're doing, I think, our numbers on the expense side of the equation have become a lot tighter than they were, because when you don't have something that you're not trying to budget for, it's extremely difficult to give you an accurate picture of what we think that's going to be. So we give our best case estimate of what we think it's going to be, and so far we're right on target, and that's where we sit with Zach and his team, and they're doing a great job.
Great job, Zach.
So some thoughts for the remainder of 2022. Let's not forget about COVID. I think it's one of those things that's going to be with us now forever. It's going to mutate, it's going to do its thing. It may have impact on governments, what happens. Hopefully we've turned a corner with it where we're not going to go back to lockdowns or things that we saw 2 years ago, but something that I think, we always need to keep in the back of our mind. Next thing we'll take a hard look at is inflation. While here at our local level, we don't have a ton of control over inflation at the national level, but it does affect everything that we're doing, So, Dairy Township is not immune to inflationary costs. We have to be mindful of that. Again, that goes back to, this is why we have a reserve. We have the reserve in place to help balance those needs, balance the equation with inflation as pricing goes up. We have money to rely upon so that, we can combat inflation at our level without relying on the taxpayer. That's the important piece. So the housing market, as everyone knows, the housing market in Dairy Township has always been very strong. I think continues to be strong, but much like the inflation discussion, the housing market kind of responds in relationship to inflation. You know, as rates go up, the housing market cools, people are less reluctant to buy. I still think we stand a chance to be ahead of the curve continually in that area, though. Even though rates are ticking up for mortgages, I think you'll see our receipts are still resoundingly solid in terms of real estate transfer tax, all of which says to me that as we move into 2023, cautiously optimistic, but we'll continue to budget conservatively on that revenue estimate because we want to be sensitive to the fact that there are changes in the market. And lastly, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to see a full Giant Center pilot payment this year. That's fantastic. As things continue to move forward, as our park, Hershey Park, continues to have large crowds and the Bears continue to draw people, there's no reason why our amusement tax shouldn't continue to perform at pre-pandemic levels. I think we're just about there. I think they would agree that we're just about there, but again, be cautiously optimistic. So some next steps in the process, what I continually preach, and I'll preach again when we do our budget, is that we just continue to monitor our revenues and expenses, which is what we do, our department heads do on a daily basis. They do a great job of it. We close any revenue gaps that we have with targeted cuts across our budget. We evaluate whether or not we want to move forward with certain capital projects that may have been approved. We always look to evaluate debt service restructuring opportunities now in this particular market as rates are increasing. Those opportunities are getting less and less. It's a great time to save money, you know, not necessarily the best time to borrow money, but one thing I'll say is stay the course, you know, stay the course of continuing to build long-term reserves. Use your budget as a tool, use your operating reserve as a tool to springboard the township for future success. I think if we continue down that path, we will achieve those goals and we'll be better for it. And again, I know this is kind of cliche and tongue-in-cheek, but maintain local services at expected levels by continuing to look to do more with less. And, you know, I've had the benefit of working with a lot of different staffs over the last 25 years. And again, I know I give these guys a lot of kudos, but they do a fantastic job for this board and for this township. They do really, truly believe doing more with less. I'm amazed at how they stretch a dollar with certain things or they're willing to put off certain improvements to next year. That's a credit to them and to our township. And to them, I say thank you because that makes my job a little bit easier. So at this point, I'll just open up to questions from anybody. I think that's the last slide. But that's sort of where we are.
So we talk about this all the time, it seems like. I know all of us do. And I know you get tired of talking to us all the time about this, but it does look like through the work that everyone's done all year that we'll be heading into a budget for 2023 which will not include a tax increase.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's, yeah, we're really proud of that. We're proud of the staff, Chris, we're proud of you for all the work. It's really the attention to detail. All the members of this board are part of that. I don't think people realize the continuing dialogue we have all the time about expenses. But by the same time, we're not afraid or unwilling to spend money where it's appropriate, and I think that's important too. We don't want to see a drop off in services. And again, your staff has done a great job of maintaining, but so that's great. And we'll look forward to the full presentation on November 15th. Thank you. Anybody have questions or comments? All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
It was kind of like a dress rehearsal tonight, wasn't it? Because there's a couple people here tonight, and we have to run through it. That was very good. All right, the next item then on the agenda is C. It's the consideration of appointing Keystone Collections Group for the purpose of collecting Act 511 taxes, specifically the local services and occupation taxes for the Township of Derry. Mr. Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As our board is aware, the administration has been tasked with evaluating tax collection services here in Derry. And part of that was to take a look at the tax association itself and to try to determine, along with the partnership with the Derry Township School District, to figure out whether or not we were providing efficient service and if there were opportunities to improve upon the service delivery or change methodology so that we could continue to save money. So when you look at the association's budget overall right now, it's $395,430, or it's just shy of $400,000 for the year. And that's those costs are split evenly between the township and the school district. So earlier this summer, this board made a decision at your, I think at your August meeting, that real estate tax collection, streetlight assessment collection services would be transferred to the Dauphin County Treasurer's Office. And they'll begin collecting those taxes on behalf of Derry Township beginning January 1. So the second piece to that puzzle was to take a look at the Act 511 taxes that are currently collected by the association. And in this case, it would be the occupation tax and the local services tax. So the board authorized us to go out for a request for proposals a few meetings ago. That was duly advertised. It went out. We had two respondents. Received a response from both Berkheimer and Keystone. I'm happy to recommend this evening that we move forward with Keystone Collections Group as the stronger of the two proposals. With us tonight is Rose Haar and Jason Lawson from Keystone Collections Group. They're here to help answer any questions that you may have as we get beyond this kind of introductory period here. But what I can say about their proposal, you may or may not know, but the Dauphin County TCC, the Tax Collection Committee, Act 32 required it a number of years ago that municipalities and counties move to this centralized tax collection system. And so EIT, which used to be collected by municipalities, moved to larger county collection systems, and Keystone serves as Dauphin County's EIT collector right now under Act 32. So they have the benefit, among other things, to maintain the same kind of records that would be needed to maintain our occupation taxes. They have the same records for EIT collection that would allow us to see where there are gaps in collection potentially and go out and try to close those. But more importantly, we get back to what's the financial impact. So when we look at their proposal, what they're proposing is 1.75% of LST collections and 50 cents per bill plus postage, both of those for the occupation tax. And then a 0% commission on any delinquent collections. What, however, because they are the EIT collector for Dauphin County TCC, there's a fee schedule that's adopted by the TCC that we should probably incorporate as part of our fee schedule as well, just to make sure we're consistent. But that outlines all of the additional fees structure that would be passed on to a delinquent taxpayer in the case, and I use the example of $100. So for example, you have a taxpayer that's delinquent by $100, they would then include some fees on there. Maybe it's a $150 total tax bill to this individual. The township would receive its $100 in delinquent payment. Keystone Collections Group would maintain that $50. That helps to supplement their costs. That's how they make money on, you know, providing the service. So in total, when you look at the occupation tax collection piece and the LST collection piece, the total contract is about $29,336 based on 2022's numbers that we put in the proposal. And so, you know, that number will fluctuate over time because it's based on that percentage of 1.75% of collections. Presumably, as collections increase, the number gets higher, their percentage goes up, but it's all kind of tied together here in this proposal. What we're recommending is that if the board is so inclined, after you've had an opportunity to ask some questions tonight, I would ask that you appoint Keystone Collections Group as our Act 511 tax collector, specifically for local services and occupation. And you would authorize me to execute an agreement following review of the township solicitor to the satisfaction so that we can keep the process moving. It's important now that as we're entering the fourth quarter of this year, the sooner that we can have engaged with Keystone to come in and begin to evaluate our records, the better off we'll be. You know, it's not just us, it's the school district too. They did approve, I believe, the agreement last evening at their meeting. So this is now following suit with the district. So we're in step with them as far as having the same collector. At this point, I'm just open the floor to questions from the board, and feel free to, you know, address Rose and Jason. I think they'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Chris, for you before we, and then I do actually have a question for Keystone as well, but my first question is, we've been talking about this in a number of meetings, but now we actually have the real numbers. Can you give us an idea as a board of how much this move from our tax association moving tax collection to a combination of Dauphin County and then Keystone will save the taxpayers, at least on our end. I know there's an additional savings at the school district as well.
It's a little bit of apples and oranges in the district, but primarily for the Dairy Township side of the coin, you know, we were anticipating at least now anywhere from $160,000 to $165,000 a year in savings. So that factors in the $29,000 that we pay this year for this service. We pay roughly around $4,000 to the county for some printing costs and things, because we're already attached to the county because we're on their bill. The only thing that changes on that bill is where you make your payment. So payment would be remitted to Dauphin County versus coming here.
That's your question,
yes. So that number could grow based on an increase in collection rate.
Right, so you know that number grows in a couple of ways. So you look at delinquent collections, for example. You know, firms like Keystone, one of their primary successes in this business is being able to collect delinquent taxes. There's probably a good opportunity here to close some gaps that we might have in the delinquent side of the page. So we would see those delinquent numbers come up. You know, so in the end, we'll end up making more money through that deal, and the savings will grow. Yes.
Chris, do you know our delinquency rate?
I do not.
How much money are you talking about?
Well, right now, I think in the proposal, it's combined between LST and occupation. It is approximately, give me a second.
People going to be able to pay online?
Yes.
Yes.
Very easily, very safely, and very securely.
So just for numbers, just to keep in the back of your mind. So budgeted for local services tax collection is about $1.2 million each year, right? Occupation is $2.1 million. Delinquent collections, which is a blended number because we don't have it fine-tuned enough to show how much is LST and how much is occupation, is about $363,000 a year. That number will probably increase over time as we're finding more and more delinquents. And I think as we move forward too, we'll be able to break apart our numbers a little cleaner through the reporting from Keystone. We'll be able to see where those delinquents are coming from.
Your numbers will all be separated between current delinquent, between your LST and your occupation.
To further elaborate on the online payment question, your residents will have the opportunity to remit payment online, like I said, very safely, very securely, very efficiently. Keystone in-house of our 220 employees houses about 50 IT professionals. So all of our software is coded and written by our employees. We don't buy anything. Additionally, they can do it free of charge as well.
So that's my next question.
So I have to elaborate a little bit. So it's
credit card or ACH?
That's what I'm saying. ACH is free of charge. Credit card is 2.5%. That's pretty standard for the tax collection industry. It's the lowest rate from what I understand in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We also have Apple Pay, Google Pay, which also incurs a 2.5% charge. It's not like a store where we could increase, you know, the product of good to make up for that cushion.
Well, that's a question that all of us have gotten a lot in the last couple of years from residents. Residents want the ease of being able to pay online.
And I'm going to elaborate a little bit more just so there's full understanding. When our bills go out, specifically the occupation tax bills, they'll have a QR code on them that your residents can use their phone. And our website is fully translatable to a phone, an iPad. It doesn't, you know, sometimes some websites are jumbled and you can't understand them.
Right.
That's not the case with our website. Very easy to use the website in and of itself. Additionally, if there are residents that still want to use paper, every one of our bills is a tear off on the bottom. They'll have full opportunity to do that as well. But we try to nudge as many people to pay online as possible. That allows us to turn those funds around faster, get them to you via ACH. So that's our goal. As well as with drafting our notices, we try to have as much information on them as possible so that residents don't have to call us, but we're there if they need to.
And it'll be easy for Mr. Chrisman and his staff to get in touch with someone at Keystone to get reports so he knows how much money has come in and kind of where he stands at any time. Is that easy for the staff here?
Yes, the reports will come monthly. They'll be uploaded onto his P-TRAC, his FAMIS, his EIT. There'll be complete breakdowns. The ACHs will come weekly, and they'll all be tied into the reports. Mr. Chrisman has access to us 24/7.
I've known Rose for 20 years, so it can't be all that bad, right?
Aside from Rose and myself, Keystone has a complete dedicated department of client service professionals that their job on a day-to-day basis is to help the Chris Crispins of the world. They don't answer the phones for taxpayers. We have 35 individuals to do that. But these five, six ladies and gentlemen, they help communities and schools every day with special requests, auditors information, all types of reports. They're there on a daily basis.
And I can say, on the EIT side of the equation, not only here, but in past lives in other municipalities, EIT numbers are important as you're looking at your budget, obviously. Being able to access those reports through their online portal has been helpful. So I know what's there. It's useful. It's very helpful. If there's ever a question of I need a specific type of data set, I can reach out and ask. And I usually, never really had any issues getting any type of query answered. So from a financial reporting standpoint, it's extremely helpful. I think that's just an added bonus to having them, not only be your EIT collector, now that will be your your occupation and LST collector as well.
I'd like to piggyback on that very quickly, if that's okay. I know you have a long meeting tonight. It is very important that we already serve as your EIT collector. First off, your employers. It creates a one-stop shop for your employers as they remit and report LST to Keystone. The LST forms for the communities and schools that use Keystone for both EIT and LST, they go in the same packet. It's really going to make your employer's jobs easier. Secondarily, as it relates to the occupation tax, I do think, without even looking at data, there probably are some gaps there, to use your term, Chris, because with us being your EIT collector, what we do for our occupation tax clients, and we have multiple in this county and across the Commonwealth as well, is we compare the active EIT listing versus your occupation tax rolls on an annual basis. So if folks move into Derry Township, start to remit EIT because they have to, their employer automatically withholds it, we will know that they've moved in, even if they never come here and report themselves or fill out an occupancy permit or anything, and we'll get them on your tax rolls. Additionally, the delinquent side of things as well, Keystone knows the employers of your residents, and under Act 511 or the LTEA, the remedy to collect an unpaid tax, it gets to wage garnishment, which is not what we want to do, but it's sometimes what has to be done. And a lot of the times we have seen our delinquent numbers, we want them to go up for you, but at times they plateau, which is what we want, honestly, because that means that we're pushing your delinquent taxpayers to become current taxpayers. The goal is not to have the same folks on the rolls year after year for delinquent. You want to nudge them to start paying the tax on time, because that's going to save them money, and then you get the funds quicker as well.
Is the school district's contract the same length as ours?
Yes.
So they talk to each other for a second.
So we had the benefit of having our solicitor partner with the district solicitors as we've been going through this process to make sure that we're in parallel with one another, so that our they are in tandem. It's a 3-year contract with 2 1-year extensions. At the end of the second extension, the board at that time will then have an opportunity to either put it out for bid or continue on. We would have to discuss those terms.
Additionally, I would piggyback on that as well, is that I'm an attorney by education. I previously was Keystone's Associate General Counsel before moving over to the business development side of things. So I oversee every contract. I provided the same identical contract to both taxing entities. We are open to alterations, amendments, just like any contract negotiation. We're very user-friendly on that part as well. There were some provisions within the RFP that I know that we'll have to get into the contract, but I'm open for any conversations, and we're normally can quite easily come to contract finalization.
One more question. So I'm sure residents will be very excited to have the ability to pay online. Now, I'm sure there will be residents that will want to talk to a person. Is there the ability for them to call? Will there be a number on the bill where they'll be able to call and talk to an actual person?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, of course. So
we also have the after hours during the hydrant seasons. And we also have a kit where they can email us and then we will respond back to them.
Okay.
So they have several options to communicate. If someone has a job that they cannot communicate during the hours of 8-4, they can send that email. We'll get back to them the next day, answer their questions. I personally, if, you know, I'm happy to help them after hours, so.
Just to piggyback on that, so our taxpayer service line is a toll-free line. It is right on the tax bill in and of itself. It's available on our website as well. A couple highlights for our taxpayer service group. One is called the queue callback, meaning that if you call and it's a busy time and says your wait is, say, 8 minutes, you can, you elect to take the option where you hang your phone up, go about your day, and 8 minutes later, we will call you back. You don't lose your spot in line. Secondarily, what we also do, I think twice per day, is if you disconnect the call, if a resident is calling and says, I have to get back to work, my lunch is over, and they hang the phone up, we will get a report at the end of each day, and our staff will call those individuals back and say, we see that you disconnected a call with us. Is there something we can help you with? So there are trained professionals that are there to answer their questions on a daily basis. If not, they can, as Rose said, submit a kit. We have SLAs assigned to these projects, a service level agreement, meaning that if they submit a kit, we have to respond within so many, I believe it's 24 to 48 hours, depending on the time of the year. But so no, there's very many avenues for them to reach out and get their questions answered.
Thank you.
I just have one question, one comment. I find that the website is very easy to use. It's very user friendly. For those folks, I think that's important because for younger folks who are new to, you know, maybe college graduates or high school graduates, now paying these kinds of taxes, it's an easy platform for them to go and pay taxes on and understand it, because it's really a simple, the EIT form is really simple to go through. And then for even our seniors who, maybe some like people like me who aren't, you know, great, and from a technological perspective, it's nice to be able, when you're paying your taxes, to be able to go on that Keystone website and you can move through it really quickly and it's not complicated, which is, you know, sometimes these websites, even the Department of State's website, you're paying state taxes online, can get a little complicated in spots. So I commend you for that, and I think our residents will really benefit from that, your user-friendly website, when they're paying these taxes. Then I have a question, because I think many parents in this community go through the same experience this, but for their children that have graduated college and moved out to other places, at the tax association, they would accept like a signed lease from wherever your adult child is now living, and you could send that over to them, and they would, you know, you could say that, you know, you could check the box and they would accept that as proof of the resident, the child, or adult child that lived here. Is that, how do you work that?
We handle that a number of ways. One, the back of our paper form has the different reasons for exemption or exoneration from the tax. They could fill that out and submit that with the proper documentation. But again, we really try to nudge them to use our online exoneration system. They can get online, it's on the website, submit the reason why. Every community and school has different exemption or exoneration reasons. Some are uniform across the board, but they can get on. Dairy Townships will be there once they use their invoice number to pull their account up. They can submit documents by taking a picture of it, by scanning it, you know, TIFF, JPEG, PDF, all of the above, and submit it online, and then it's handled that way.
Speaking from experience with 4K, that's terrific.
Yeah, it's harder to get the lease from your kid, so you can send it over to a tax office than it is to actually
I would
tax
drop it off. Yes. A piece of advice I would give is to, when your children move out and move away, have them start using that address to file their state taxes. Is that what generates? Some folks say, no, they're down in Philadelphia in an apartment, I'm going to have them use this address for their taxes. That, through the state list that comes from the Department of Revenue, that generates some of those issues that then, yeah, you know, force you to do some paperwork on the back end.
What'd you do with their phone bill still? Just kidding.
Well, thank you. Does anyone else have any other questions? I mean, it's thank you for bidding on this. You guys were the low bid, and it was a competitive bidding process. We're excited if we already have the good fortune of already using you, obviously, for the EIT, so we have a good track record with your company, and we look forward to your good service here. So, anything you want to close on other than that?
I would say on behalf of Keith Rose and myself, we want to thank you for the opportunity to extend our partnership with Derry Township, as well as Derry Township School District. Keystone, I know the principals are excited about this contract. They're waiting for word from us after the vote. Good. And everybody's excited to extend our partnership and try to do a great job on behalf of the township, increase revenue for you, and help you out for those impressive budget presentation that we saw this evening.
Which was very impressive. I sat through many.
We will, well then, we shall wait not 1 minute longer. Is there no other questions or comments from any board members? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors appoint Keystone Collections Group as the Act 511 tax collector, specifically for local service and occupation taxes, and authorize the township manager to execute an agreement with Keystone Collections Group, subject to the satisfaction of the township solicitor, for a 3-year term beginning January 1, 2023 through December 31, 2025, with an option to extend the services for 2 additional 1-year terms.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Are there any further questions or any comments? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before you move on to the next, as part of that, just maybe have the board acknowledge the fact that there is going to be a letter going out to the tax collector, school district, and the Derry Township Tax Association, notifying them that you're entering into this agreement with Keystone for these 511 taxes, and that there's no longer the need for those existing agreements associated with the tax association. Everyone understands that? That'll go out?
Yes. Well, I weren't sure if that was a question.
I wanted to make everyone aware that that's all part of this.
Yes. Thank you, and actually, Matt, thank you for bringing that up. All right, that'll take us to item D on the agenda, which is the consideration of addendum 1 to the 2022-2024 collective bargaining agreement between the Township of Derry and the Derry Township Police Association, clarifying Article 8 dealing with uniforms, Section 8.2. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, Article 8, Uniform Section 8.2, discusses the Township's responsibility to provide in-body armor in accordance with the dress code established by the department. With rising costs to produce body armor, the association did approach the Township to clarify the contract with respect to what level of armor protection should be issued to individual officers. After evaluating several different threat levels associated with the production of body armor, the association and the Township agreed that level 3A NIJ threat level protection was the suitable maximum under our policy at this point for the department. As body armor wears out and it's replaced at the end of its useful life, currently the Township covers up approximately $1,200 for that replacement. But as we talked about earlier this evening, with inflationary costs, it became more important for us to establish what is the minimum level of protection that we're willing to guarantee. That's that level 3A. An officer can choose to go less than 3A on their own accord and will still continue to pay for that. But if they would choose to go above a level 3A, and there's several that go above that, they would be responsible for the cost difference between a level 3A and the ultimately the armor that they chose, whatever that protection level is, and those associated costs. So what the policy addendum does that's in your packet this evening is it establishes what this policy should be moving forward as it relates to the level 3A protection grade. I think it's fairly clear the association approved it in its current form, and at this point it's in a position for board consideration this evening, and unless you have questions or comments, try to answer as best I can.
Questions? Hearing none, we can entertain a motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve addendum number 1 to the 2022 through 2024 collective bargaining agreement between the Township of Derry and the Township Police Association, clarifying Article 8 of Uniform Section 8.2.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
A second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. We'll move to item E, which is the consideration of approval of the development agreement with the Department of General Services of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and this Pennsylvania State Police for the Pennsylvania State Police's land development plan. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is related to the Pennsylvania State Police land development plan. As you recall, you approved that plan a few months ago. This is the development agreement associated with that plan. Given that there were certain specific revisions to the normal development agreement that the township usually enters into, given the fact that this is the Commonwealth and the Pennsylvania State Police, I thought it would be prudent to at least bring it back before the board before it's executed, given those revisions. Specifically, some of the, and nothing that you're not aware of, I don't believe yet, is that the Pennsylvania State Police and the Commonwealth won't be posting financial securities associated with this plan. They did not agree to indemnify the township from certain claims, and they also did not agree to allow the township to file liens against the property in the event that they were to default on the agreement. But they were agreeable to certain revisions to the agreement to address the other concerns related to weekend and night work, as well as the reimbursement for township inspections associated with work. So with that, we do have a revised development agreement with those revisions before you this evening. And if the board has any questions of me, more specific as to those revisions, feel free to ask me. If not, if you're in a position, then you might consider a motion to authorize the execution of the development agreement for the Pennsylvania State Police and Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Land Development Plan. It would be appropriate at this time.
So Pat, you're basically asking us to take a look at these revisions and if anybody has any questions or concerns to raise them with you now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Otherwise you'd ask for a motion to go ahead and move forward.
Correct.
Agree.
Correct.
I don't have any questions.
And a lot of the revisions are specific because it is the Commonwealth.
Right.
And they are not agreeable to doing certain things that developers typically
correct.
Are required.
What I was going to ask, especially the indemnity, is that normal that they just
it's tough to get the Commonwealth to indemnify
anything?
Yes.
Are we not dissimilar from PennDOT? Like, so if nobody has any questions or concerns about these items, and not hearing any, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve and authorize the execution of the development agreement for the Pennsylvania State Police and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Land Development Plan. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or concerns? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is F. It's the resolution to amend the five-year winter maintenance agreement, agreement number 39000392 35, for the five-year period between 2020 and 2025 for certain state-owned roads within the township, submitted by the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and adoption of resolution number 2022-19 attached to the amended agreement. So I'll turn to Mr. Clark for this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you said, in 2020, the board approved a resolution authorizing the execution of an agreement for 5 years for the winter maintenance of certain state roads in the township. This year, the department has decided or chosen to amend that to increase the rates that we will be paid for winter maintenance on those roadways. So they require a resolution to amend that agreement. So that's what's before you tonight. You can see there for the remaining 3 years of the agreement, what the current agreement had dollar-wise and what the amended agreement has, and that will increase the amount that we're paid for snow removal, winter maintenance on those roads over the remaining course of the agreement by $16,509. And we are recommending adopting the resolution.
All right, thank you, Tom. Any questions for Mr. Clark on this item?
Mr. Clark, so you're not adding any additional plowable roads. They're just paying more.
Correct.
And that, but that's to use on those state-owned roads that where we've agreed to maintain.
Correct. That's all, it's always been roads that at some point in time we deemed to be necessary roads for residents. Waltonville Road, the westerly portion of Wood Road, Fishburne Road, it's not four lanes interstates in any way, shape, well, four lanes, major arteries, I'll say, in any way. It's the more rural roads, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Okay. If there are no other questions, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of the Supervisors adopts Resolution 2022-19 and execute the agreement number 39003935 of the 5-year 2020 through 2025 winter maintenance agreement between the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and the Township of Derry.
All right, thank you. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you.
The next item and the last item under new business is G, the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Park Camping Resort, 1200 Sweet Street, S-2022-023. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This stormwater plan is for the addition of two new cabins at Hershey Park Camping Resort. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company and recommended that financial security in the amount of $21,262 is to be provided, which H&R has provided in the form of a PNC bank letter and has entered into the township's standard agreement to provide financial security. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept financial security in the amount of $21,262 in the form of PNC Bank Letter of Credit Number 18136934 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Park Camping Resort, 1200 Sweet Street, S-2022-023.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Any questions for Mr. Emmerich? If not, we can entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and make a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts financial security in the amount of $21,262 in the form of a PNC Bank Letter of Credit Number 18136934, and that we enter into the agreement to provide financial security with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Park Camping Resort, located at 1200 Sweet Street, and it is S-2022-023. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Is there any comments, questions, or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. That concludes the items under new business. We'll move to supervisor board or committee reports. And I'll go from my left all the way to my right. So, Mr. Corrado, any supervisor board or committee reports?
I have none. Carter will be doing the DQMA report on our behalf.
Very well. This is not supervisor board or committee report.
Yes, the ICDA met last Thursday. We were in receipt of a presentation from HNR in regards to a budget update, as well as some projects that need to be completed at the Giant Center in order for their operations to continue for winter events, like the Hershey Bears and things like ice-specific events. And we approved expenditures for those events so that they could continue to operate. And that's it.
Thank you very much for the report. Mr. Wyckoff.
DTMA met last night and approved the construction bid for Forest Avenue Swale and the Oakmont Stormwater Basin. The Oakmont is replacing that failing stormwater culvert under Wood Road, which people might have noticed. So that's great. They're working on that. It should take about 2 to 3 months to finish that, but they'll provide us with a more definitive update as progress continues happening. Bullfrog Valley Stream Restoration has also begun, and Stony Run and Brookside are nearing completion. There's a lot of stormwater work that's out there right now, and a lot of it's nearing completion. The Spring Creek Interceptor upgrade has also started. So there's, again, a lot of stormwater work and construction going on at the authority. But as usual, it's going well. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's a good report. Go ahead.
Is that why the culvert along Wood, is that why the Wood Road is one lane, like this week?
That's probably why, because okay. They started working on it, yeah.
Yeah, that was, it was down to one lane for it, and it looks like they were pulling tubes out, like through. Does that go all along the road?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Actually, they're directional drilling a gas line in through there.
Oh, are they?
That's what's going on in the bottom of Roseland there. They're pulling a gas line in there.
Yeah, this is at Wood Road and Limerick.
Yeah.
Where they're working for the
school. Oh, yeah, this is a little bit, this is more towards the Bullfrog Valley Pond. Lots of stuff happening in that area.
It's all good. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. And I have no board or committee update to provide, because candidly, I missed the ICDA meeting. I was out of town on business, and I missed the last library board meeting for the same reason. So that will conclude supervisor board or committee reports. We'll move to departmental reports and start with the chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As noted in the agenda item for the swearing tonight, the swearing-in of Officer Gill brings us to number 39 of our allotted 40 complement. We hope to bring somebody forth at the beginning of next year to swear in and bring us up to full complement, which I don't think we have been at full complement since 2017 or early 2018. So that is definitely a welcome sign to us. Gives the officers there, once we have everybody up to full speed, gives them a little bit of a chance to take a breather and not work so many extra hours. So definitely thankful for that. Thankful for the board for their commitment in getting us back up to those numbers. I also wanted to thank Mr. Christman. I know we talked, and then we brought the association in as well to get that addendum done for the body armor. It's very important to the officers, the women and men that protect our community, to be able to protect them in an efficient manner. Everybody sees the news, everything's becoming more violent. So it's definitely reassuring to the officers in our department that the board is behind them and willing to make sure that they're safe.
Well, thank you, and we're glad to be able to do it, and we're glad that Mr. Christman got this on the agenda so quickly as we can take care of that. Mr. Sassaman is not here tonight, so we'll move to Mr. Clark, Public Works.
I don't really have much to report. We're pretty dedicated to leaves at this point.
Right, yeah. Good, thanks, Tom. Ms. Trapman, library.
I just wanted to notify all of you that I will not be at the next board meeting because I will be hosting the acclaimed science fiction and fantasy author Nnedi Okorafor at the Hershey Country Club in the Keystone Ballroom. She'll be speaking. We're very excited about it. We have a lot of community partners who sponsor this event, including people from the Hershey Company, Hershey Entertainment Resorts, Penn State Health, Friends of the Hershey Public Library, and Covered Baker Books. So that starts at 7 p.m. on November 8th, and I swear I didn't do that just to get out of the way. So if
another
anyone is not attending that, it was the only day she could come, unfortunately. So, but we're excited to have her.
That's great. Well, I think you're doing a great job with programming at the library, Allison. There's a lot of really good things happening over there. For folks, if they just monitor just the news, the weekly e-news, you know, you get a sense of what's being offered, and kudos to you for keeping that really high level of programming. It looks really inspirational, so thank you.
Thank you, I have great staff.
All right, Speaking of inspirational, Zach Jackson.
Just a reminder, we have the Hershey Arts and Crafts Show coming up Saturday, November 5th. Be at Hershey High School from 9 to 3. We're maxed out, as we are every year, at 150 vendors. So great opportunity to get some holiday shopping done.
Great. And the Halloween parade went well, Zach, I trust?
Yes.
So that's how you know I was really away from business, by the way, is that I missed the Halloween parade and all that candy. So
as always, hugely popular event.
Yeah.
Very well attended.
That's great. Well, thank you to you and your staff and to the chief's staff and the Tom staff, because I know my mother who worked that parade, but if you stick around after the parade is over and everybody's long gone, it is all of our friends here, the township staff and these leaders here who are there cleaning up and getting
out. Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned that. No way we could do that without the police, public works, fire department, all their help.
The one time I thought Garth just used to do it because they were eating, you'd get free candy there. I think he does it because he really cares about you, Zach. All right, thank you for that report. Next would be Township Engineer, Mr. Bonanno.
Yeah, just a little more detail on the Bullfrog Valley. So they're mobilized there. They have ENS in, bypass pumping's in. So right now, as of yesterday, they actually started on the stream work. So they anticipate that for about another month, and then they'll be down there. So they're moving along right on schedule so far. So that's good. And it's a very public place to be there. So we're watching pretty closely, but they're doing a good job.
Thanks for that clarification.
And it's blocked off. It's like closed down.
Yeah.
There's no protesters out there trying to go around the barriers. Not yet.
Our inspector had a few interested parties come out, and he's more than happy to tell them what we're doing and why it's important. So, but yeah, everything's good so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Community Development, Mr.
I would also like to thank Tom and his team for assistance with Chucktoberfest. I was very surprised when I was off Friday and found them over there mowing the lawn for us and getting everything in shape. They also got some lights replaced for us on the poles. It's a great event. I have nothing else to report. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll just add, Chuck, you know, Zach is part of the work that we did on the stage, right? So the stage was safer this year, you know.
It was well used.
Yeah, yes. It was, and I think it was just a good idea that it got done. I appreciate everybody worked hard to get it done, and then Chuck, great. I know that's not really, you know, it's a Downtown Hershey Association event, but kudos to everybody there, because I know there were a lot of other township employees that are helping volunteer, and it was a really good event. I think it was a safe event. We just want to be mindful of at that event. What I noticed is some of the trash cans, they get like, if you walk down the sidewalk and you kind of walked away, some of those trash cans were starting to overflow, and I don't know the good way to have somebody who kind of making sure they're keep, because what happened was stuff was piling over onto the street.
So. Tom also supplied us with one of his trucks, dump trucks, that we filled the back with trash. So we were actually monitoring the cans as best we could.
Well, you did a good job. So I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm glad.
Oh, no, no, no.
And were you in costume, or was that your normal Saturday?
That's how you run around on Saturday.
Yeah, it looked like that's what I thought when I saw it. You have to go look a picture of the sun and you'll know what I'm talking about.
My wife was the event coordinator and she bought me that stuff.
All right, thank you, Chuck.
Thank
Mr. Hemmer. Mr. Chrisman, Township Manager.
I have nothing to report, but thank you.
Thank you for your report and your update. We'll all look forward to the November 15th meeting, the budget meeting. This is the last opportunity for public comment. Tracy. All right, Tracy says no, so we're good. She's the only member of the public left, so she's a trooper. She's been here all night. We will close this session of visitor public comment, and at this time, we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Tie, but I'll give it to Mr. Wyckoff. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. We please adjourn. Thank you, everyone.